than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, it is the off season for the Ravens, but man, they are missing some fantastic football. This postseason has been one for the record books, one for the ages. I just wish the Ravens were a part of it because these games have been stellar. Joining me as always to talk all things football and the Ravens, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Coming off high off of that weekend we just had. I know we're late to the game, but the call is back for its latest installment. But, you know, we're not going to go back and relive the horrors of the last game of the year. I mean, we can certainly touch on that, but just where we're at right now. We're in between the divisional round and the AFC and NFC championship rounds in the NFL playoffs. And I kind of want to start there if we might. It's fresh. And you just said that we just came off an exciting weekend. All four games, holy wow. Point blank, I want to ask you right now. We know the Maha Miracle game was in the divisional round. It was up there, one of the greatest playoff games, one of the greatest NFL games ever played. You know, the Ravens have been a part of some doozies, especially how the weekend ended. First comes to mind was the Ravens-Vikings game we were at with the frenzy scoring at the end of the game. Like, there was no scoring. It was like, boom, 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 like in the fireworks that the Bills and the Chiefs provided. So as you saw this weekend, the games that went down, and then my high miracle game, Ravens Broncos. Where do you rate that game in comparison to this weekend? Because I mean, you could probably put all five in a top five, but this is ridiculous. Yeah. What do you think?
I think as a whole, I can't pick one game that was more fun to watch than the other. This entire weekend, even if you are not a football fan, you have to sit down and watch these games, and like your mind's got to be blown. All of these games, this really is the best of the best. You're really seeing that, and I mean, the Bills Chiefs game, looking at that one to end the weekend, 13 seconds are left. 13 seconds. That's why you play until the end of every single quarter. 13 seconds left. I'm sure Buffalo fans were going ballistic and ready. They were buying tables in bulk because they were ready.
How do you recover from that?
I don't know.
I don't know. And I want to ask you, you just had 13 seconds. So it actually causes me to take inventory and really relive like the way, not even going back to the Pittsburgh game long ago for the two-pointer, but like the Packers game, right? If you kick the extra point, we can go back to this. You leave Aaron Rodgers with 42 seconds in a timeout. To me, after seeing the masterful surgeon that Mahomes is, and it even makes it more crazy that the Ravens actually beat them in week two? Yeah. It just seems like so long ago. Yeah. That, you know, looking at that, it's just kind of like, why not go for two? Because you still got to give the ball to Aaron Rodgers. And that's what a lot of folks are saying with like, you know, pro two-pointer at that moment with the Packers game, reaching back to that game is like, well, kick the extra point, but it wasn't like they went in overtime. You still had to stop Aaron Rodgers. So it was kind of like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers in two or three plays can get the field goal, put him in field goal range, and then the game's over. So like, then you got him. Oh, should have went for two, but it wouldn't have mattered anyways. The Packers would have won. But anyway, it just causes me to think about that, right? Because it's like, psh, I mean, 13 seconds. Like, there's no way. Like, no. If this was the Ravens in position, dude, we'd be out in the street celebrating. And, I mean, I guess, like, Broncos, it's kind of like how Broncos fans felt, right? You know, they take the lead, and, you know, the Ravens get the ball back with 30 seconds left and no timeouts. As a Broncos fan, you had to feel great, right? And then all of a sudden, Jacoby Jones gets behind the defense, and all's done. So, again, we put them through it. So, it's just crazy, man. This weekend's games, upper echelon, it was kind of like crazy because you saw the riffraff and in the wild card weekend, like the teams that weren't supposed to be there that got in, got exited out pretty quickly. So then you were left with the final eight that were pretty solid, you know, going through it. And unfortunately, the Ravens weren't a part of it this year. but rightfully so. Pittsburgh Steelers are one and done. So, you know, just because we relived the angst that that game brought with Jacksonville winning, and we understand it with the Ravens even winning that last week, Dolphins took care of their business against the Patriots, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So we understood that, and then and the Raiders ended up winning, I think, anyway, too. I think we had to root for the Chargers in that game. I can't remember. It's been so long ago with those scenarios, but it wouldn't have mattered. So you always like to see the Ravens win the last game, send the Packers out with L, and don't the Steelers out with L, not Packers, sorry. But hindsight's 2020. They moved on to the playoffs, didn't even win, one and done. But we know our AFC North counterpart is in the Final Four. Kind of justified. They swept us both handily. They won the division. It's kind of rightfully that they're there. It's not like they got lucky, right? They're, you know, they earned it. So good for them. If you're rooting against them because they're a rival, hey, don't fault you that. If you're rooting for Joey Burrow and company, great. But it was awesome to see them taking down the Titans. And it was both number one seeds fell. It was great weekend for football. And just shows you, I don't care if the Ravens get the 1-2, that doesn't matter. Everybody, again, right? The Ravens have had success with the top seeds, but just get in the playoffs. You just don't know. Wow. And apart from Mahomes being in the Final Four, there's three, if you just want to look at the quarterback position, there's three quarterbacks that were going to win their first championship. And if Mahomes would have lost to Allen and the Bills, he would have had a Final Four of the NFL where anybody's going to win the first one, and you would have had a Final Four without a Rodgers, a Brady, or that. But I want to ask you about that, man. Looking back on that Bucs-Rams game, you had to think, here he goes. Like, everything was falling into place. It was like Super Bowl 51 all over again, right? Like, you're just going to give it right to Tom with a 24-point deficit, really? Like, that was insane. And, again, I had no rooting interest. You knew me. I'm a Tom Brady guy. It is what it is. But it was kind of pulling for the Rams. You got like Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, you know, all the stuff he took in Detroit. And then as the game turned, you're kind of almost like, I want to see Brady do this. Cause it's like, here we go again. Like, just add it to his folklore. Like, that was insane that they tied it. And the way that came down and ended, wow. Look at the performances, man. Cooper Kupp showing what he can do. How about Gabriel Davis? 200 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns for the Bills. Insane. Insane performances. Tyreek Hill, we know what he can do. Damage. Insane touchdown. You pick up our plays. How about the blocked punt against the Packers? Packers scored on their first drive, and you would have told me the Packers would have scored 10 points in their first playoff game this year, being a one seed. I would have laughed at you, bro. Yeah, so take a deep breath. We got more championship football, but what a weekend just to, you know, again, sucks that the Ravens weren't part of it, but wow, like I'm going to remember this for a while. Like, this was just one for the ages, and it shows you that the future of the league's in good hands. Brady's might exit. He might have a year or two left. Who knows? But we're going to be stuck with Mr. Patrick Mahomes for quite a while. He is the new regime. 4th AFC title game in a row. Could make his 3rd Super Bowl in a row. And it makes you really appreciate that the Ravens beat him by 1 point all along the time ago, because they finally got that taken care of, right? The kryptonite. But I mean, just how good is Patrick Mahomes? I mean, seriously. I mean, Josh Allen too. I mean, you got to tip your hats to these guys, and the AFC's in good hands, brother. I mean, you know, you got Burrow and Mahomes in the final. It's going to be awesome. See what happens.
I mean, I remember a couple years ago during the Flacco era, everybody was complaining that there weren't any good quarterbacks out anymore. It was Manning and Brady and everybody else.
That's true.
And I kind of feel like we're in a new age, because Aaron Rodgers got taken out this weekend. Tom Brady got taken out this weekend. You've got a lot of young talent now. You know, you've got Joe Burrow. He's only in his second year. And how many games did he play last year? What, 9 games last year?
Yes. Yep.
So, I mean, this is – we're in – you got Lamar, who's a young guy. I mean, he's, what, 24, something like that? You got
Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, man.
We are in a brand new era of the NFL right now, and it's a brand new quarterback. And really, I mean, that's what I actually loved about this, because you do have Aaron Rodgers. You do have Tom Brady. How do you bet against them? But this playoff scenario, this is anybody's game. Anybody could be – like, there's no betting against one team, you know. It could really be anybody's Super Bowl right now. You have a bunch of guys. Matt Stafford has been in the league for how long, and he hasn't even come close to being anywhere near a
playoff. He's kind of the veteran now, right? He's the veteran now. And you even mentioned Big Ben. You throw Big Ben in that conversation. He made the playoffs and won and done, but he's a Hall of Famer. You think Rodgers, Big Ben, and Tom Brady made the playoffs, and they're out. And you look at who's left, it's Matt Stafford's the elder statesman. Maybe you can throw Garoppolo in there because he's been around a time or two, but you know, and he can make a second Super Bowl appearance. But it's awesome, you know. And be as it may, it's going to be good football, and I can't wait to break it all down. At the end of the show, I'll kind of ask you like to see now that we had the Final Four set, because I had Bucks, Bills, Super Bowl, so both of my teams are out, so my bracket's busted if you do a NFL bracket. So and then the next bracket's in March. But anyway. Yeah, and then looking at the aftermath of the season and all that, you talked about the quarterbacks and Lamar. You know, the future of Lamar, it's a big question mark right now, because it's like, what do you do there? And not only that, but the team, the direction that the team's going to go in. Every year there's turnover. Every year players come and go, retire, free agency, re-sign, franchise tag. It's going to be a off season that we're going to cover end to end, but. It's really hard to really predict or pinpoint what the Ravens might do, because there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And
let me ask you this. Let's start off with this, because you do bring up Lamar and the quarterback situation. I mean, this is his last year on his contract, and before this season, he was probably looking at $35-40 million a year. With a contract like that, after this year. Is there a part of you that thinks Eric DaCosta goes, Tyler Huntley, he's only $1 million, $2 million. Do I go with this guy for a year or two and then draft a QB? Or do I give the big money to Lamar, who has never played a full season in the NFL? He's always missed a game or two every year he's been in the league. Where do you think Eric DaCosta's head is right now?
I would love to know. I don't think you can do either. I don't think you can't do scenario one, keep Huntley and let Lamar go. It's insane, but I get your point in that kind of thinking about that. You can't pay Lamar right now. So it's kind of like you're wedged in between, like, what do you do? And that's why I say it's going to be interesting, because you can't. Lamar's regressed, hasn't shown the ability to improve since the MVP year. And we get it. I know this year he was hurt, and his numbers shown he was trending better than his MVP season, on pace, if not better than that MVP season. But we know that there was something going on in the offensive line, and it is tough, it's kind of like I put an asterisk on it, because he lost pretty much his whole running back core and his Ronnie Stanley, blocking for him. So I kind of just say, like, let him get healthy. Let's see what happens when people are back, and then let's make a determination. But we already know that there's some regression at some point. Yeah.
Did you hear what Lamar said after the season about the offensive line, the offensive core that is around him? And I found it very interesting. I just heard it yesterday. I was watching the Purple Playbook on WJZ as they were wrapping up the season. And Lamar said, because of COVID, we couldn't hang out after the games. It was you practice, you go to your locker, you leave and go home. There was no team dinners. There was no, I remember.
Like it was in 19.
I remember a couple years ago, I feel like Harbaugh, they all took a bus trip to like Gettysburg. If you remember that.
They did.
So you couldn't do any of that. So the camaraderie and the I got your back, you got my back type of thinking, that could have played a role in the last 2 years due to COVID, because they aren't as close. Like Rashad Bateman and Lamar Jackson, I said this, when Joe Burrow got his wide receiver from college, like they already had a built-in relationship. Rashad Bateman and Lamar, they knew each other on the field halfway through the season, and they never were able to connect. So I'm wondering if, because of COVID, Lamar wants to be a certain type of leader. He wants to get to know his players. He wants to do all this kind of stuff. None of that could happen. So I'm wondering if that played a factor into this last year.
You know what? That's a good point. It could be a factor, because, you always want that in-person interaction, that camaraderie. But, as far as skill sets, I think it doesn't answer the question for regression or, Lamar reading defenses and that whole nine yards. But I feel like, yeah, it goes for the gel and the nucleus of the team, because when you can hang out and you got your best friends with your teammates around you, and you can do field trips and get that closeness, you have that trust in that relationship. So yeah, it's part of the equation. It's not the end all be all, but yeah, that's a great point. And maybe they can still get together in the off season. Maybe it was just an in season kind of thing, the protocols. I don't know. Right. But we'll see what happens in this offseason. But it'll be good to get the guys healthy that were injured and get them back. You know, and speaking of that, I know like the combination of the creativity on the offense now, it is tough when I know both sides of the ball lost key players. But, you know, when the news broke that Wink went got let go, you know, I had to digest that because I was kind of like, obviously we were all hoping, I guess a lot of large fan base was hoping that Greg Roman, they were calling for Greg Roman's head. And I was on that, and I'm still on that bus because of the lack of creativity, like, and the lack of like, and again, you know, the play calling and especially the last game of the year, when I'm sitting in the stands, you know, yeah, I understand you got to win and you need help. You know, you always want to win games, but when a Latavius Murray is gashing the Steelers at like 8, 9, 10 yards a clip, he had a 150 in rushing and you're trying to put the game on the line and try to, you know, call and throwing plays with a backup quarterback, like, come on, dude. Like, and it's not only that game, but there was a lot of points in the season where like play calling was inept. And it's like, you know, like I look at the Rams game too. They could have won that game. They get all the way down there first and goal, and you're trying to like call like little pass plays, you know, when with Tyler Huntley trying to throw it 2 yards. And I'm like, he isn't Lamar. He's not a Josh Allen. He's not a Patrick Mahomes. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, keep it simple and run the football. Like, you're getting 2 yards. You ran all the way down. It's just like, again, it's easy for us to be armchair quarterbacks sitting in the stands or sitting at home, like, oh yeah, it's easy for us to say, but keep it simple. Like, it just start, they, I feel like it just makes it too complicated, or they get cute and like, oh, we're going to try to play action, throw it here. No, run the football. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm just exhausting. I was just done, and I'm exhausting to try to see the lack of creativity in the offensive side of football. I don't know. And then you see, like, you watch other games, and then you're like, they do it. You know, their offensive coordinator gets it. But then the Ravens, I always joke and was like, oh, like with the Titans situation. Remember, like, 3rd and 1, and they called some stupid quarterback trying to, like, a quarterback RPO with a Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill. And I'm like, you just had Deontay Foreman gash your team. You even have Derrick Henry and Foreman on a 3rd and 1 to ice the game. Instead, you call some stupid little play. And then, of course, the next play, Henry gets stuffed for a loss, and the Bengals got it on turnover downs. I'm like, and I literally said to my buddy, that was probably Greg Roman sneaking in our corner play. And it's a joke, but it's serious, because that's like, that's something Ravens would have done. 3rd and 1, you need a nice little, you're running it the whole game. And, oh, let's get cute and try an RPO and get them off balance. I'm like, this is the NFL, guys. So to me, I'm kind of scratching my head, because it's like, I get that the Ravens were ranked either next to last in passing or dead last in passing defense. But what do you expect when you lose a Marcus Peters and a Marlon Humphrey, right? Like, that's going to happen. But I feel like the defense as of later kept the Ravens in those football games. Because if you recall, the Ravens didn't score an offensive touchdown against the Rams. It was a defensive touchdown. And they were in the game all the way to the end. You know, the Steelers game, in the game all the way to the end, they held them. So, you know, the Ravens were in every game, not because they were scoring 30 points a game. It's because they were holding the other team defensively. So, to me, this probably seems more to it than not. Like, I know the statement came out, it's vague. The let go, there's really no concrete evidence as to why. But I feel like maybe he's being groomed for a head coaching position. But every news breaks that I see, all these other people are getting interviews and opportunities. So I don't know what went into that. But all indications obviously seem that the Ravens are more on Roman's side and his support than Wink's side. But I just feel like it's, you know, looking at it from a lens of my standpoint, I feel like it's the wrong decision to make. But, you know, it's why I don't run an NFL team. That's why I do what I do for as a profession, because I don't run an NFL team. It's easy for us to be opinionated and break it down. When we see it from the outside, we don't know. But, and the Ravens have not made that whole state of the team end of the year press conferences we're used to. So, and a lot of fans have been clamoring on that online of like, where is that? So, you know, maybe the brass will get up there and actually give us an answer as to why Wink is gone. I would love an answer, because to me, I think Greg Roman was the culprit in this one, because it just, the offense was inept. And I know that he was working with a backup, but it wasn't like Tyron Huntley was playing bad. You know, it just, I feel like it was just a lack of creativity in key moments that, although the Ravens scored one more touchdown, they would have won probably 2 more games. They probably could have been easily in the playoffs. They could have easily scored a touchdown when they went goal to go, driving the game in the fourth quarter against the Rams. They easily could have probably scored against the Steelers. You just break it down either way. And you know, the 2-point plays aside, you know, it is what it is. But that's just my feelings on it.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't think they've done the state of the team because I don't think they're done making adjustments yet. I don't think they know what the state of the team is right now. So I think that we're due for that, but I think that they're going to be making more changes. The Wink Martindale firing, which, I mean, there's some people out there, they're going, good, get him out of here, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just remember, this guy's got being fired. So, I mean, somebody's losing their job. It's affecting him. Right. It's affecting their families. It's never a good thing. So we do feel for him and his family for that.
But, and I agree with you there. Me wanting Roman going, I'm not calling for his head saying good either, because you know right. me, I'm the same feeling as you. I don't want right. to give off that persona either, Brandon. So it's just, yeah, I feel like I've just had enough of what I've seen. And I feel like a change is due. But unfortunately, changes are due means someone's losing a job. But, you know, you feel for these guys and hope they land on their feet. There's plenty of opportunities out there, hopefully. But I certainly agree with your point. I don't want to seem like I'm like, lose your job. Good. Get out of here. Get fired. Yeah. No. But yeah, I'm due for a change.
Yeah. And I think that the Ravens, the fact that they let Wink Martindale go kind of shows that they aren't satisfied with the status quo and what's happened so far, that they are trying to figure out how to make this the best team possible. I don't know if letting Wink Martindale go was the right call. I mean, I guess we'll see next year. I feel like you said, the defense kind of kept them in the game for the last couple games. At least it made it close. But oh, yeah. Obviously the Ravens want to win. So my biggest question is, like we brought up with, do you stay with Tyler Huntley? Do you stick with Lamar Jackson? What do you do with that contract situation? I mean, once Lamar was out, the team went on a skid and never recovered. They never won a game
since he went out. So, right. I mean, not to say wins and losses are the measuring stick, but I mean, they were close and the Ravens could have won, but they didn't. Yeah. So they haven't won another game when eight went down. So what's that tell you? You know, he's definitely needed.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
What do you do?
He's definitely needed, but there's still a part of me that thinks like Eric DaCosta is going, where should I spend most of my money? Is Lamar really that $40 million man, or can I get by with only spending $2 million and putting that money elsewhere? So, I mean, I'm wondering if that's going through his head. I think you can't let Lamar go. He is way too talented. We saw what happened after he was out. They didn't win another game. So obviously there is talent there.
What do you do if his play remains subpar? And it's kind of for contract time. Like, you know, he's going to want his due because he was once an NFL MVP, but being 3 or 4 years removed from that, it's kind of like, yeah, that's great and all, but it's not worth $40 million a year. Like, and it's crazy because when this all first came out, when Deshaun Watson got paid and Josh Allen got paid and Mahomes got paid and all these guys got paid before him, and especially some in the same draft class, I'm like, I've always said he's not worth what Mahomes is by any stretch of the means, but he's definitely worth more than Deshaun Watson. So, you know where those guys got paid. So it's like, but that's like falling under like where Allen got paid. So it's like, what do you do? And it's like, you can sit here and make 50 arguments to justify why he is or is not worth that. But it's like, I don't know what he's going to command. And we don't know. Lamar only knows that number and what he wants and what he's deserving of. And the Ravens do too. But I would really, that discussion is going to be hard because it's like, yeah. I don't see the Ravens doing what they did and investing so much in the guy, just walking away after 5 years saying, all right, go be a free agent, go get paid on another team. We're not going to pay you. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. It would be a shell shock to the whole Ravens community, fan base alike, but it's kind of like, it really, what do you do? I just feel like Lamar's really put the team in a tough position just because it's like, you know, the start, you know, 2020, we got there. He didn't do much. And then the playoff game, I felt like he just regressed. He didn't look that confident self. I mean, reaching back to the Bills divisional game. And then from there, it's kind of like unraveled, you know, and, you know, he's had some bright spots, right? Led us back in the game against the Chiefs. He did his Superman-like powers against the Colts and he set the franchise record. So it's like, we've seen what he can do.
Right.
But we need more consistent basis. And again, it's going to be a hard conversation. I'm glad I'm not a part of that process because that's tough. Glad you ain't a part of the process either, but it's like, I don't know. And it's going to be interesting when that time comes, what is going to happen. And we can predict about it. We can put our opinions on it. Really don't know. But, you know, I just feel like he's going to be here in some, I just have this vision that he is going to be the franchise guy, like it or not. But how does that look like? But I don't know. It just needs to do better because again, then what do you do? And it sucks, but I don't see him getting paid anywhere near what he's probably going to be worth, but I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. He needs, like you said, we've seen what he can do, and we've seen what he needs. And what he needs is a really solid backup QB, because this is the most I've seen a backup quarterback be used. For the Ravens, you know, when Joe Flacco was out there, we barely ever saw Tyrod Taylor. And Tyrod Taylor's a solid talent as well, but he was barely ever out there. With Lamar, his rookie year, we saw RG3 come in. We saw RG3 last year. We saw Tyler Huntley this year play in consecutive games. So Lamar is the talent, but you're going to have to take some of that salary that he has and make sure your backup is solid and is there every game, because they're going to be needed. I mean, even Tyler Huntley missed a game this year. So, I mean, there's a lot in that quarterback position to be needed. And Lamar, I think, is a solid talent. He's an MVP talent. He's great. But as far as his contract goes, I think that they're going to be like, you know, we need to invest money around you to make sure that you're in every game. So we're going to want to take some of that salary that you're going to get and give it to somebody who's also going to be super talented and who's going to be on the field. So
right.
It's going to be a very interesting offseason. It really is. And I think that we're going to be doing a bunch of shows talking about, like, what if. I feel like we're in a Marvel series right now. What if?
Right.
You know, but
it's like a cliffhanger. Like, what's the next season going to bring? It's always with the NFL. But I just feel like the Ravens are at a crossroads. You know, once where we thought this team, remember, they had the identity. Like, you know, 2019 Ravens got swagger. It's the Lamar Jackson show. Everybody's talking about it.
Big trust.
It's like, yep, big trust. And then boom, what a fall from grace. So that year was so fun. And then now it's kind of like, you know, it's like you watch the team member over the year. It's like turnover in a bad situation. Oh, they didn't convert. Why are they making this decision? Why are they deciding to do that? Oh, if they had just did this, we would have won the game. It's always these like one-offs. And it's just like, no, I mean, it's easy for us to say, but bro, I want to go back to dominating like we did 2019, where we were benching him in the fourth quarter on a good note. Like, that was fun. So, yeah, now it's kind of like, geez, man, like, it's tough. You know, every game is kind of like, and then, you know, you talk about the quality of these games coming down to wire. I mean, how many times this year it was kind of like, don't leave your seat, don't change the channel, because, you know, just tune in the fourth quarter, you know, the Ravens are going to be a one-score game and they're going to find some way to goof it up, right? So, you know, it was kind of like, you know, stay tuned for next week, next installment. So, I don't know how next year's going to look. No, none of us know, but I mean, you know, they have a top 15 pick. They're picking 14th overall. So they have a higher pick this year, obviously, for not qualifying for the NFL playoffs. They have 10 picks overall. I don't know if you saw, but I think in the fourth round, they're like loaded with like half those picks. I think in the fourth round, they got four or five of them. Right. So I'm like, hey, why not trade a few of those and move one up or move maneuver the board? Who knows? But you know me, love the NFL draft, and I can't wait till April. I think it's in April when this all goes down, and see what the Ravens do. And we're going to really, you know, as the months progress and the weeks get closer to that free agency, we're going to cover that, have the draft breakdown, and kind of figure out what are the Ravens' needs and match them up to what national media and local media are saying, and saying, like, looking at the overall picture of the team and then seeing, hey, when people start being let go and retained in these contracts, what's going to look like. Like, first comes to mind is obviously bolstering the offensive line. And I know it's not a sexy pick, like 14th overall, let's pick a lineman, but hey, you need them. Yeah. We drafted a Marshall Yanda. We drafted a Jonathan. You need them. Like, sucks, but you might not like it at 14 overall, but let's get another big boy up there on the line, the block, because if you looked at the weekend's games, watching the Bengals under duress with Joe Burrow, 9 sacks, crazy he won the game because of that. Because why? Cannot turn a ball over Ryan Tannehill. Turned it over 3 times. That led to the downfall. Look at Tom Brady under duress constantly. He had his lineman hurt. He was a game time decision. Ended up being a no-go, and Brady didn't have the time. And that's why it shows you. I don't care if you're Lamar, who's mobile. I don't care if you're Brady. I don't care if you're Joe Burrow. You don't have a line, you're going to get blitzed and you're going to get paid for it. And the way Joe Burrow was under duress really remind me of the Dolphins game. It was just like every time, like, he would go back there, it's like duck, cover, run. And I'm like, man, like, it was shades of that Thursday night game all over again. So line. I preach that all day now because it's one loss in the trenches and then you'll get a pass rusher. I feel like both lines need to be addressed, but that's my point, because they got the playmaker and Rashad Bateman. They don't need, I mean, they could always draft another receiver, right? But they're not going to get a dynamic receiver at 14th overall. They just drafted Rashad Bateman. You know, you still got Hollywood. Mark Andrews is a beast, as we know. Top 2 tight end up there with Travis Kelce right behind him. You know, I just think they got a bolster line. They're going to get the running backs back, so we don't need running backs. Line and corner and secondary is where the Ravens are needing. That's kind of a teaser setting the stage for later. Is I feel like they dress both defensive lines, and maybe get a linebacker and some more. They get definitely need safeties. And I mean, you got Marcus Peters and Humphrey, but can never have too many corners in the secondary. But I feel like that's the dressing of the needs right now, as I see the team and the state of the team. But I'm excited for the future because we do get Dobbins back. Maybe the offense takes a leap forward, and maybe that's why. And again, maybe now thinking about it, maybe that's why they're giving Greg Roman one more shot, saying, okay, we'll give you a mulligan because you did lose a J.K. Dobbins. Like Gus Edwards went down. You didn't have your toys behind Lamar. Let's see what you can do with a J.K. Dobbins back there being a threat. Then we'll assess it. So I don't know. Maybe he gets one more. Yeah, I don't know what the Ravens' plans are, but that's the way I see it.
I mean, the whole team's going to be very different. We have unrestricted free agents coming up. Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, both big names on defense that are completely unrestricted. Calais Campbell could retire. Brandon Williams could go someplace else. With Jimmy Smith as an unrestricted free agent. Justin Houston, LJ Fort, Pernell McPhee. All these guys are unrestricted free agents. And then you look on the offense and Sammy Watkins, Patrick Ricard. Who else do we have? Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman. I assume both those guys are gone. So this is going to be a very different team. And like you said, Wink Martindale, he is a solid talent. And I think even Terrell Suggs put out a tweet that this guy is built to be a head coach. So maybe we'll see him either at the collegiate level or at the NFL level being a head coach somewhere else. I don't think he's going to be unemployed for very long. I do kind of question letting him go, though. It seems like he had a really good rapport with the players. They had, remember, I think it was 2019, you know, he was throwing out his gold chain in team picks at some point. So I don't know. This is a very interesting time to be a Ravens fan. What do you think they do with that defensive coordinator spot? Do you think they go out of house? The Ravens have kind of been known to stay in house for a lot of positions, but if they are trying to go in a different direction, do they go out of house? I know they've set up an interview with someone from Dallas, I believe, and a couple other places, but do you think that they stick with somebody in-house, or are they going to bring somebody from the outside for a new perspective?
You know what? That's a great point. I mean, if you look at how they do, they always promote from within, kind of. I mean, you know, if you look at Martindale's tenure with the Ravens, he's been the Ravens since 2012, and then he's been the D coordinator for the last 4 years, so he got promoted. So, you know, but I feel like, you know, they always do that homegrown. Let's move from within the organization and see what you got and kind of promote them. But I think they're probably going to go outside. If I had to guess, I think it's time for change. But the way the Ravens do things, would not be surprised if they follow suit and promote from within their own ranks. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I heard Anthony Weaver's name mentioned as the leading front runner for the D coordinator position. So again, former player for the Ravens, I would be okay with that. So, but I just have a feeling that, you know, maybe it's time for an outside perspective. I don't know. You know, it remains to be seen. I mean, I'm going to guess they go outside, but knowing that Anthony Weaver's inside, I mean, it's always nice to have in-house guys because you know the culture, you know the organization, you know what's there. It's easy to do that, right? You don't have to introduce somebody to all that, but you never know. If you have an outside perspective, I feel like it's an outside-the-box thinking like, hey, I know you guys do it this way, but let's introduce this. So that's kind of where I like to lean with that. But I wouldn't be mad if Anthony Weaver got the job. See what he's got. Former defensive player here in his own ranks, so that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So last little bit of news here before we get out of here. Antonio Brown, guy just sticks around.
He's still around? I thought he went through the tunnels and exited.
He went shirtless in New York and started throwing stuff. But he was on a podcast recently, and they said, who do you want to play with? And without even skipping a beat, he said Lamar. So Lamar even retweeted that and had a little purple devil face emoji.
Oh, we saw it.
So,
oh, yeah, causing a stir already.
Yeah, it seems like, Lamar, he already plays with Hollywood Brown, which, you know, he's related to Antonio Brown. I'm not a huge fan of Antonio Brown. I think he brings a lot of distractions to a team. But
I hear a but. What do you got? I hear a but.
But the Ravens also did bring in guys like Le'Veon Bell, who also were known to kind of be a distraction on teams before.
And Dez Bryant.
He
was early in his career being a headache, but he wised up.
Yeah, but
and Antonio... they almost signed a T.O. Almost.
So do the Ravens take a shot on Antonio Brown? I mean, the guy, this whole situation has been really weird because there's been like, oh, I hurt my ankle. And then it was, oh, well, they're not giving me the catches I want. And there's incentives for me to get certain catches at certain points. So they're going to pay me more. So, like, I don't know if he's in it to win it or if he's in it to get some cash. I don't know. The guy has been a headache for a lot of different teams. I mean, he's a former Steeler. He was with Oakland for a minute. Tom Brady brought him in. But we saw what kind of happened when Antonio Brown wasn't there this past weekend for Tom Brady to throw to. It kind of affected the Bucs. Who knows if they could have made it past, you know, to the next round with Antonio Brown on it. But is Antonio Brown worth the what ifs?
If kind of like big risk, big reward, right? Like it's right. Kind of like it's an interesting conversation because
our friends on Facebook though that follow us, because we did post about this. We have had our friend Wes with the
Wes and Bob are like no,
yeah, with the Michael Scott emoji. No, no, please, God,
I reply
no.
With Dr. No. How about no? Yeah. Dr. Evil. How about no?
Yeah, so they're not for it. I don't really think I'm for it either, but do they take a chance? Do they bring him in and see? I don't know.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, see, I'm kind of like with you, like on the fence, like it's a major, I mean, it all screams no, but then it's like talent-wise, it's like, but then you look at talent-wise, you know, what's he got left versus anything, but I don't know if you know this, but go back and look at the stats. He, you know, both fantasy and reality, he was helping people out. So again, I know he had a Thomas Brady throwing to him versus a inconsistent Lamar Jackson right now. It's a different story, but I don't know. Is it worth the chance? You look at it this way from a Patriots perspective. The Patriots took a chance of all franchises with Bill Belichick, and it was like, what, a one-game experiment? And then they were kind of like, nope. So it's like, I don't know how NFL contracts are structured on how they can get out with clauses and all that, but you know, sign them to a min deal. You goof up once, you're gone. Is it kind of a win-win? Like if the Ravens get something out of him, great. If he's a big clown, all right, cut your losses and bye-bye. I don't know. It sucks because, like, you know what he can do, but at this stage in his career, is it worth the risk? A lot of my friends and a lot of people I do follow, again, on that no train, like, absolutely not. It's not going to happen. You know, and it's always been, I guess, a pipe dream because you've seen them work out before within their cousins, and it's kind of like, man, that'd be special. Have a, you know, whether he's a clown or not off the field, he's a Hall of Fame talent. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence that, like, I don't see it happening. It would be a huge ordeal, but I don't know. I mean, you talk about distractions. I don't think that's the big issue. I think it's more on-field talent and what they can contribute because you can, you know, he was, for the most part, behaved up until that meltdown. And to me, I'm like, that was – no one knows what that was about. But for the most part, for the Bucs, he was well-behaved up until that point. Like, you didn't hear any distractions. He went out there and did his thing. So – again, don't know, but, you know, I kind of wish sometimes I could walk off the job like that and just say peace. But, you know, I love my job, but you know, there's some days where it's like, hey, wish we can be an AB and just go bye right. And pack it up and go home. But, you know, for the most part, it's I don't know. I just think the Ravens have to evaluate is that whole headache and circus and distraction outweigh – you know, does that outweigh his talent or does his talent and what he can contribute outweigh? I mean, again, right. Like they brought in Le'Veon Bell to see what he can do. Former Steeler, who was his teammate before they gave us, we call them the triplets, right? It was Big Ben and Antonio Brown and Bell gave us headaches when they were in Pittsburgh colors. They brought in a Dez Bryant and Dez contributed a little bit and then he got let go. So, I mean, like you, it's kind of like all this bad stuff, but like, I don't know. But as anything with the Ravens, right, it's whether we like it or not, we don't run the team. So if they decide to do something like that, we can hate it all we want and go to the airways and say, this sucks. What a bad move. But we don't run the organization for a reason. They do. So I don't know. If he did this, it's kind of like if you got out of him what Tampa got out of him. Again, I know prerequisiting that with a Tom Brady versus Lamar, I can't compare that. But if you get something out of him, I don't see why not use him as a possession slot guy. I don't know, because I feel like apart from Bateman and Hollywood, I don't like the receivers on this team.
Right.
I mean, Tylan Wallace hasn't shown us enough. I know he's pretty much brand new, but again, I know it doesn't help that Lamar's hurt, but who do you got behind Hollywood Brown? Nobody. Rashad Bateman's emerged as the true number one, in my opinion. And kind of Hollywood's complimenting him at this point because of the skill set and all that. I don't know. It's just to me, apart from those three guys that catch passes, who do you got? I don't know. And I know Hollywood's coming off a 1,000-yard receiving year, along with Mark Andrews. Great for them, you know, but I don't know. It's an interesting conversation to have. I knew you were going to probably ask me about it today. And that's the best I can do is kind of like, I'm with you. Like, yeah, it's a big circus, but is it worth the risk? I don't know. I don't know. It's really tough, but it'd be fun to see for sure. Be like, hey, AB's on the Ravens. All great. But I don't know. I just don't think it, I think it would do more harm than help the team, but that's up to the Ravens to evaluate that and make that determination. And if they feel it's better for the team, the Ravens, I feel like are going to do what's best for the team, not best for the fans. Fans might not like that answer because, you know, everybody thinks that the football team should cater to the fans. That is not the case. They're going to do what's best for organization. If they feel like that guy gives them a shot in the arm for the offense, then they're going to take that chance. If they don't, then they're going to not, they're going to dismiss it. But I just don't see it happening. But who am I to judge, right? I don't know, but I don't see it happening.
I mean, I'll go one step ahead of you and say, you know, you're talking about the receiving core and you liking Rashad Bateman and Hollywood Brown. I only like Rashad Bateman. I think Hollywood Brown is kind of a bust.
Ooh, here we go. The bust talk.
I'm not happy with the way he performed this year. So, I mean, I'm the receiving core, again, what if, big question mark here, Rashad Bateman's the only guy I'm like, oh, I like what he's bringing to the table. I don't like what Hollywood has done this year or even the year before. So, yeah, that's another spot. Do you draft a guy or do you go with the Antonio Brown who could walk off at any moment because, you know, you didn't give him enough throws? So we'll see. But, hey, last little bit, not Ravens news, but we got to bring it up. Aaron Rodgers, again, what if, big question mark here. We don't know what he's going to do. Steelers have a big opening right now if Big Ben has called it a career. Could that be a landing spot for Aaron Rodgers? Could the AFC North have Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Aaron Rodgers? And, of course, Baker is in there too. But three big names right there. I mean, Joe Burrow, yeah. I feel like also, by the way, I feel like Big Ben, he rode off into the sunset, and the AFC North was kind of open for – you know, who's going to be the biggest challenge for the Ravens. I think Joe Burrow picked up that crown and said, this is me now. It's not going to be Ravens Steelers anymore. It's going to be
he picked Ravens, up the crown and earned
Bengals.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tall order. It's been the rumor floating around. I actually think it makes sense for the Steelers organization just because their quarterback right now is Mason Rudolph. And if you look at the quarterback drafting, I can't remember what spot the Steelers draft in. I have to go back and look at the draft order, but I'm sure they're around. They're probably a few spots for higher than the Ravens because the Ravens are 14, didn't make the playoffs. Steelers did, and they were the seventh seed, and they got knocked out. So they're probably hovering around 20, it's a vice for call. The quarterback pool in this draft is very, very slim pickings. And you already know that Stenson Bennett is coming back for the Georgia Bulldogs for another year, national champion he is. So he's not entering the draft. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting conversation. And again, I feel like it makes sense for the Steelers because it's kind of like that stopgap. Like, okay, we're going to, you know, replace a Ben with another Hall of Famer, let Aaron Rodgers come here for a year or two, see what he can figure out, and then they can get their quarterback situation under control via draft. Because I've always said our nemesis there is going to have to fill that rank probably a free agency because if they're going to have to roll to Mason Rudolph, they're going to finish dead last next year. I mean, you know, they're just going to be the bottom dwellers until they figure the quarterback situation out. So that's it. I think, yeah, the Steelers are running right now with a Mason Rudolph and a Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. So yeah, I think it would make sense for them. So it's funny because I was like, I'm not selling my Packers ticket because it's Aaron Rodgers' last game in Baltimore. And it was like, but he could be a Steeler next year. Still don't know. Don't want to take that chance. Let's hope it doesn't happen. Got to deal with that. But that would absolutely suck for us. Let's put it that way. But at the same time, it makes sense for that organization. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
All right, Josh. Well, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Wall to wall, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52. And I have a question about that.
Okay.
I thought about changing my Twitter handle. I don't know how the masses would respond to that, because it's like I've been going by that for so long. It's like, what if I change that? And it's like, how do you find somebody when they change their Twitter handle? Does it stay the same? I don't know. But I was talking about changing, keeping the ending, but changing the Italian in it. Because, I mean, obviously I created that handle way back when, when Twitter started. So if I go my profile, I started Twitter in February 2011. So it's 10 years old. So who knows what I was thinking when I made that back then. But I thought about changing my Twitter handle. So just a little plug in, tidbit. Who knows what this year might look like, but might have to plug in a new Twitter handle for me next year. I don't know yet. We'll see how I feel this year. All right.
I joined Twitter in February 2010, so I got you beat by 1 year.
Ah, gotcha. You're a year older than me in Twitter years.
Yeah. And Brando Cash, that's actually two of my nicknames combined.
I was going to ask you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, if you can follow Josh there on Twitter for who knows how much longer, like he's changing it up. We'll see.
But we'll see.
But go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and you can listen to our show directly on our Facebook page. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us on Spotify, and make sure you like and subscribe on Facebook as well. Now, before we get out of here, we let Josh do our thing. It's a sad day in Baltimore. Unfortunately, three firefighters lost their lives earlier this week in Baltimore, fighting a fire in a vacant home in Baltimore City. We just want to say that our thoughts and prayers are with the entire Baltimore City Fire Department, with their families. This is never easy. This is a terrible tragedy. Three firefighters lost in one fire. There's still another firefighter in critical condition at this moment of recording. So we just want to say, the Baltimore Ravens, they're a huge part of Baltimore and of Maryland, but the fire department, of course, unsung heroes in Baltimore and across the world. But these are three heroes that lost their lives, unfortunately, and our thoughts and prayers are with them, with the fire department, with their families. But it's a sad time in Baltimore right now, and we're thinking about everybody in the fire department. So we're thinking about you, everyone out there. So Josh, I know this is a little bit of a sad way to take us out, but take us out the way you always do.
And Brandon, thank you so very much for that. And yes, prayers, up for, all involved in families. And it's a very tragic event in our city. Our hearts are heavy today as we mourn the loss of those lives. And, close the show out before I do my thing with a brief moment of silence on that regard. And, getting out of here, I'm not going to let you out of here without asking you. The final four are set in the NFL. I'm going Bengals-Rams Super Bowl, with the Rams being the second team in a row, just like the Buccaneers last year, to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium, which is crazy. It's never happened, and then it really could happen 2 years in a row, which is fantastic. So, and they're playing a title game right there at the site of Super Bowl, and 2 weeks later, so pretty crazy is that. The Bucs didn't do that on their run because they were all away games for them, and then they had to return home for the Super Bowl. So they want to have to leave. They win the whole thing and they can just party on for 2 weeks. So, till the Super Bowl. So obviously Bengals Rams for me. Who do you got in the big game out of championship weekend?
Well, here in Baltimore, I don't know if you've paid attention to the forecast, but there is a potential for a lot of snow this Saturday and Sunday. One forecast says it's going to be 2 inches. The other one says it's going to be 16 inches of snow. So I'm hoping for a very snowy weekend where I can just be stuck in my house watching football the entire weekend.
Does that mean I got to go to the grocery store today? Now?
I mean, it might be a good idea.
I was unaware of that, so thank you, my weatherman.
It might be a good idea. Great. I'm gonna go.
You just ruined my Tuesday. Great.
Hey, there's also potential.
Why do these happen during the weekends? What's with these weekend storms? Like, why can't it happen on like a Monday where I can snow all in because I'm home all the time?
There's also potential where this storm completely misses us and it's only rain. So we'll see.
There's also potential that the Chiefs could lose, but we'll see, right?
Yeah. But if you're a Baltimore fan and you want to go out and buy your Scrapple, go do it now. But I think I want to see Bengals 49ers because Joe Burrow has just been absolutely fantastic.
Rematch of the late 80s, right? Was it 89, 88 Super Bowl or something like that?
I don't know. I think so.
Might be 91. I have to go back. But I know that they faced the Niners and Joe Montana in that game, and they lost.
49ers player Kittle, he is a big wrestling fan, so I kind of have to back him up now, being such a big wrestling fan. I mean, he threw off some reporters a couple weeks ago. They're like, what do you think this is going to be like? And he goes, 1996 Shawn Michaels. And I'm like, I get that reference. I totally get that reference. So I'm going to have to root for Kittle at this point.
Well, you got Kittle and then the Green Reaper on the other side facing the Bengals. Whether you like or hate Mahomes, you have to feel that. That quote was pretty awesome.
Yes.
But Andy Reid said about him, that was awesome. Now I'm like, great. But I'm glad that the Ravens beat the Green Reaper a long time ago. But now we got that to attend to. You know, Tom Brady terrorized us for a long time. And now we got Mahomes. So let's enjoy the ride. But whatever happens, it's probably going to be some good football. And I hope it's not two blowouts. I hope it's two good games and comes down to the wire and let the best team win. And we'll see what happens for the next installment of the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. And, can't wait. So enjoy that. Enjoy the Nor'easter forecast, Brandon. And, the Ravens have a lot on their hands right now, a lot of uncertainty. But we know the offseason is a time to reflect, a time to make moves, and time to improve the team and get better. So as we march towards free agency, as we get towards the NFL draft and cover everything Ravens during this offseason, stay tuned to the call, Facebook page, the shows, anything late breaking news, me and Brandon will get together next few weeks to break it all down. And are you up for maybe doing do you want to do a quick Super Bowl show, or what are we feeling? Do you want to kind of get together after a championship round and cover the big game and break it all down?
I think that all sounds good.
Let's do it. So let's reconvene for Super Bowl weeks.
We've only got four more episodes left till episode 300 now.
Yes, we're going to hit 300 this year. This is great. Can't wait, man. It's have to do something monumental for that. It's a big deal.
Well, we'll come up with something, hopefully.
We'll come up with something. I'm feeling maybe a Jimmy's Live on Location kind of deal. I don't know. This is just easy. I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. We'll see. But anyway, all take care. Enjoy the championship weekend of the NFL. And obviously 2 weeks leading up to Super Bowl, it's going to be fantastic for the game. Can't wait to see who's going to be playing for the ultimate title. And Ravens got a lot of work ahead of us. So with that being said, Baltimore Ravens into the offseason. How about let's fly high?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.